What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Team Chat Podcast, a video game show. I'm one of your hosts, Jarrett Wilson, joined to my right by Rachel Mogan.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno to you as well. How are you this fine
It's cold afternoon? In this room.
Cold in this room. You're the only one who's cold
I
in this room.
I am.
Today, Sam and I think about that because it's like 80-ish outside.
It's starting to get toasty. It's hot.
And it's kind of muggy today
for the first time.
And so, you know, we've been in the throes of repainting and reorganizing.
Look at all this stuff.
Like, there's different stuff back here. I know you probably really can't tell, but the walls are a different color. I have a new entertainment center. I got some shelving up here. My head blocks it, but the original intent was this was going to be like the gaming shelf stuff over here. So I got like God of War, Horizon, Cult of the Lamb.
The Team Chat Extra Life sign.
The Extra Life sign, Lego Donkey Kong, Last of Us stuff back here as well. So, you know, it's coming together.
Well, I appreciate having this shelf right above me because now it's not me, my shortness, competing against the darkness
of that.
Yeah. So it gives me the illusion of not being a short, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Just trying to do the best that I can here. But... notwithstanding room decor and all that. Where was that going? Oh, yeah. That being, we're doing all this stuff. I just put like some new shades up in here, too. It's fucking hot. We were both walking around going like, I turned down the AC and it said that the inside temp was 74. And we were both like sweating and stuff. And I was just like, bullshit, it's not 74 in this house. We both were like, why is it so hot already? Summer in Texas already, March 4th.
Yeah, it's here.
It's here.
Yep, it's here already. It is unfortunate.
So we're going to be staying inside. And staying away from the heat that is outside to play video games inside.
Absolutely.
So that we can talk to you about them here on Team Chat, where you can listen to those us musings, reviews, whatnot on video games every Thursday when new episodes release. And you can listen to those on podcast services around the World Wide Web, as well as watch a video version of each episode over in our YouTube channel. Links for all that are in the description below. You can also find us on social media at Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, as well as join a Discord server where we have a lot of great conversation when we're not here recording the show. And finally, if you'd like to help make the show bigger and better, you can head over to patreon.com/teamchatpodcast, just like Ark, Super Saiyan Ace, Erica L, Elise F, Zach S, Susan M, James K, Michael B, Andrew M, Michael S, and Brandon W have done. And like I said, they've gone over to patreon.com/teamchatpodcast, given us a dollar a month, whatever amount you're feeling up to. And in return, we get cool perks like getting the episodes early before their general Thursday release and access to a private channel on our Discord server, the Rogues Gallery, as well as extra goodies and tidbits along the way.
You haven't said the word tidbits in a while.
Yeah, just trying to work it back in.
Notice that brought me out of my not paying attention.
See, that's,
reverie.
I gotta just drop those words every time. That's what I like. Was hearing this thing. Quick aside, it was an interview with Laszlo on What We Do in the Shadows. Whatever that guy's name is.
Okay, gotcha.
What's his name?
Best character.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Like, what's his?
We need to be gay. That guy, right?
Gay is in. Gay is hot. Gay is what I shall
yes,
be.
My personal icon.
Completely forgetting now the actor's name, even though he's incredible. But
Bronson something.
Do what?
Bronson something.
No, it's not Bronson.
Damn it. Okay, never mind. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to
Google that one.
Anyway, talking to that guy and talking to him because you know, like, that's one of the things of Laszlo and What We Do in the Shadows, that he just always drops these like weird pronunciations of different words, and he says it's purely a thing. Sometimes he'll do that just to like snap everybody else back into the scene if he feels like they're kind of like nodding off.
Attention.
So I'm just gonna start doing Laszloisms and everything.
Honestly,
like that.
It's just a great idea.
Just to pop you out of your
pretty good idea.
But anyway, join us over on Patreon. Get those cool perks. If you can't do that, that's totally fine. We completely understand. There are great ways to get the show to support the show in free ways, such as telling your friends, writing us reviews, or you know, just
hanging out.
Things.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Come
Sorry.
Join us in
Lost
the Discord.
My little,
we love
train
it.
Train of thought there, talking about Laszlo. As one
now that you're
does.
Thinking about
but
him.
Now that I'm thinking about it, just can't quit thinking about him.
I mean, who could really?
but anyway, before we get into the main topic of the day, which it's going to be a little bit light. It's going to be a little bit lax over here at the TCP. We're in between. It's been a couple weeks of, we had to take a couple weeks off. Apologies for that. So we're back. So it's going to be one of our fun shoot the shit episodes where we just talk about what we've been playing lately and whatever fun stuff just comes along that we want to talk to you about. But before we get into that though, let's get a little bit of news and what's coming out soon. In our moment with Mogan.
Okay, let's do a tiny bit of backtracking into the end of February because a small handful of really cool things did come out. So a thing that I forgot they were doing, not gonna lie, Splatoon 3 the final expansion pass side order actually came out on February 22nd.
Okay.
I started seeing GIFs of it on the internet and I was like, wait, what? Did something new come out for Splatoon?
Play Splatoon 3?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. I played a ton of Splat 3.
Okay.
What?
Well, because that came back out in like what, July?
It came out, 2 years ago?
No.
Sure.
Splat 3 wasn't 2 years ago.
I think it's been two. Anyways, don't worry about it. We'll think about that later. The point is, the final maybe it was just last year and I just don't remember. Anyways, the final expansion pass of Splatoon 3 Side Order is now out. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons Remake is out for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster
is out for
all current gen consoles and PC and the Switch. Just letting everybody know. Probably don't play it on Switch, but it's on there. And then a game that I know at least a few of our listeners and patrons are deep, elbows deep in, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was coming so quick.
Yep. And PlayStation 5 exclusive. So right now it's only on PS5, so Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is out now. Getting us into March, Euphoria, The Saga 2 came out for PS5, Xbox Series X, Switch, and PC on the 1st. Quilts and Cats of Calico. I don't know what that is, but I love it immediately. Actually, I wonder if that's an expansion of the game Calico, because I think I remember Fuchsia playing a cute kitty sort of life sim game called Calico, I want to say.
That sounds familiar.
Or maybe Calico Island or something. Not sure if they're related, but Quilts and Cats of Calico is out for PC. And then The Outlast Trials is out for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. As of today, March 7th, this episode's air date, As Dusk Falls is out for PS5 and PS4. Only those two. Snufkin! Melody of Moomin Valley. Are you familiar with the Moomins?
No.
Dude, I don't know.
Those like cow-human
sort of
hybrids? Oh,
almost.
Okay. Wow.
You're actually not super far off.
That was just a shot in the dark.
No, but the Moomins are like old. Like old, old, old.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how they haven't fallen off in popularity all this time, and I'm baffled that they're getting a video game, but Snufkin Melody of Moonman Valley is up for Switch and PC. The Pirate Queen, A Forgotten Legend is out for Quest 3, Quest 2, and PC. On March 8th, Akka R? It's A-K-K-A space A-R-R-H. It both feels like there are too many vowels and not enough vowels contained in
Akka-R.
Akka-R for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation VR 2. Unicorn Overload, much easier to say, is out for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, and Switch on March 8th. A game absolutely neither of us cares about at all, but I'm sure somebody does. WWE 2K24. PS5, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 8th. Contra, Operation Galaga.
Still making Contras?
Yeah, they're still making Contras. I feel like I heard about this one, and it kind of seemed like maybe a big deal. Anyways, that's out for all current-gen consoles, including PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Melatonin, the game.
Is that just going to sleep?
God, I hope so.
It seems restful.
Lord knows enough people need it. Melatonin, right? The game is out for only PlayStation 5 on the 12th. And then getting us a little bit further into the month is Passing By, A Tailwind Journey, Llama Soft, The Jeff Minter Story, and Cartel Tycoon, out for various platforms.
Cartel Tycoon.
None of these sound...
Wouldn't have seen that one.
Gotta tell you, this sounds like a pretty non-eventful middle of March.
Yeah.
None of these games are really... really jumping out.
Nah,
at me.
Same
not
for me.
Lie.
The Dark Forces Remastered, that came out, last Wednesday by this time. So a little over a week ago by the time this episode's out. I did not have the time to play it because I had some travel and stuff like that. But I might have, not making promises, but maybe by the time this episode came out, I might have actually bought it and started it. But my plan is, I haven't touched it yet because I want to stream it. I want to be able to like take it in its remastered glory on stream for everyone to get to enjoy with me. Because, I don't think anybody else is busting down the doors to go play Dark Forces Remastered with
me. I don't think so. And it just makes me bemoan the time that you've wasted streaming Uncharted. Because it's like, those are hours you could have saved for a game that matters.
No, I just knew that one was still hanging out. And I need to finish that one, too. Because I probably have,
You don't need to finish that one.
I think
you
to,
can give up. There is no sunk cost fallacy here.
I probably have like two more stream sessions to finish it up.
But think of what you'll lose in your soul.
Oh, I'm not going to finish it up. I'm not going to finish it up before I start Dark Forces. Let's be clear. Dark Forces is coming out first. I'll get to Uncharted eventually. It's just I've had so much time, and I went like a whole year in between streams of it. I got to finish it now. At this point, I can't.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think you can give up at any time.
I don't know. People watched them, and I quote Brandon W. in the chat said, "Great stream, man. Thank you." So there you go.
He was just being polite.
But anyway, yes.
I'm going to DM him later and be like, Brandon, you've got to stop saying this stuff when he streams Uncharted.
He gets him a big head.
You're giving him the illusion that people enjoy the Uncharted games.
But no, Dark Forces Remaster stream will be coming soon if it hasn't already began by the time this episode comes out. Because nice. I have been anxiously awaiting that game because, like I said, I spent countless hours in when I first started playing it and revisited a few times over the years, but I haven't touched it in a very, very long time. So getting to go back and redo it on modern controls and everything is going to be fantastic. So
slightly improved
really looking
graphics.
Forward to that. I mean, they gave it a nice little cleanup, but it's still it still looks like an older game, which I appreciate. I'm glad that it kind of didn't get like the newer complete facelift and everything like that. So it's going to be a good time. So look out for that coming soon.
I'm excited for you.
Also, though, you guessed last time Soundtrack Spotlight because we were not able to get a viewer pick.
But I
on
knew
this
it
one.
The second you started playing it because I've heard that song many a time.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
But the reminder was, or the hint was, a musical piece as twisted as its maker or something like that.
Yeah.
It was Cohen's masterpiece from Bioshock. So
the
thanks, Kirok.
Yeah,
the very
Bioshock.
First one. So thank you, Kirok, for submitting that hint and everything like that. But since Mogan was the correct guesser here, she will be giving us a new one. But it's time to get into our stuff. We didn't even really have to do a big transition because we're just talking about whatever the hell we want to talk about. So it's been a little bit we've hung out a couple times in between recording or since we recorded last and everything, but what you been playing?
Let's
talk about what we've been watching.
let's move into the thing that we both recently did that we definitely want to talk about because you just saw it today.
Literally today.
We have both now seen Dune 2, the Dunening. That's not what they officially called it, but they should have.
I thought I saw somebody in the Discord say Dune 2 Electric Boogaloo, and that made me happy. Me too.
Electric Dunaloo? Anyways, whatever. The point is
that's
both
better.
Now seen Dune 2. And remind me, you saw the first one.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the older either TV or film adaptations?
I saw the 1984 one long time ago.
Great. Excellent. That's my favorite one personally.
It was really
<It's>
you like that one over these?
No, I'm not sure I would say over these, but I do have a deep and everlasting appreciation for that movie.
I watched that one and I remember I kind of like started it. It was probably like Sam and I were in our house before this one. So like it's been a minute since I've seen it. But still, I remember like I turned it on one night. And I was just like, it's on. I'm curious. Let's watch this and find out. It had me for a little bit. I was going with it. Then that scene where Gurney and Paul do the training fight and they activate their shields.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How that got to print.
Oh my God. It's incredible.
Is beyond me.
It's the most incredible. I hesitate to even call them special effects.
It was.
They're amazing.
It's literally, they got these personal shields.
Oh my God.
And it literally, I know there's a video game character that I've looked. It's like a, that's like a.
It reminds me of the Minecraft man. Mm.
The robot in Interstellar.
I've never seen Interstellar.
Oh my God. Okay.
Sorry.
Let me got to do a quick little Google here. Also, I Googled it. Matt Berry is Laszlo.
Oh, okay.
I had to Google it because it was going to drive me nuts. But the robot in Interstellar is what this looks like, is what their shields look like once they turn them on.
Oh my God, you're right.
It's fun. I don't know if anybody's going to be able
just
to see this.
Just turns them into hilarious blocks.
Yeah.
Just
like
blocks of people.
Like this, with arms, with long rectangular arms, because like, I get it. The technology wasn't there to do what they were trying to do with it, but oh my God, could you have tried a little better?
I mean, also, so was it, it's been a while since I watched the 1984 one, and by a while, I mean like 6 months.
Yeah.
I watched that movie on the regular.
Really?
But Patrick Stewart, does he play Gurney?
Yeah, he's Gurney.
Yeah, okay, he plays Gurney. And then who's the guy that plays Duncan Idaho?
I don't remember who it is in that one, which still, That name, even in the current one, I just laugh at.
But it does crack me up to look at Kyle MacLachlan. I hope I'm saying that last name right. That's one of those Irish ones that I always struggle with really, really hard. But I love seeing him play Paul Atreides, because Paul at the start of the series is supposed to be like, what, 16, maybe 17?
Yeah.
And Kyle MacLachlan is like clearly a man in his, at best, mid-20s. Late 20s.
Yeah.
More realistically, probably his 30s. And it's like,
what are you doing?
What is happening here?
No,
and
it's
Patrick
funny.
Patrick Stewart is just Sir Patrick Stewart, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
sure,
same
whatever.
As he always is.
I love this.
No, it was a good time. I remember, but I definitely remember, like, by the middle, I was like, I'm lost. I don't know what's happening.
Well, so that's something that's what I was getting around to, is both the 1984. I mean, the 1984 movie is really confusing if you don't know what's going on in Dune, and you have not read the books.
No.
If I'm okay, to be fair, I have only read most of the first book.
Okay.
I've never finished it, and honestly, I probably will never finish it, and I'm not sorry about that. But I know a little bit more about what's going on in Dune on the sidelines because of that.
Sure.
So I was really curious to know, having watched both the 1984 one and now both of the Nunes, the new Dunes, does it make more sense?
Yeah, current Dune
okay,
made like total sense.
Okay, good.
And
that's
was one
my question.
There was one thing that I don't want to bring up here because it's spoiler for part two that I did have a question about, so I will ask you about it later. Mm. So remind me about that. But that I'd like, I think I just misheard the line or something like that. But no, this one, I was able to keep track of what's happening.
Good.
Like, it's still like, and that's what I think I liked about this. And like the Dune part one and part two, they like, I'm trying to figure out how to say this right. They are like sci-fi that I can buy into, in that it's a believable world to me, like Star Wars is.
Yes.
And so
I
like that like really sells it. Like
yeah,
the world building of Dune, of the newer Dune 1 and 2, like the first 1984 Dune, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
You're an uncultured swine. You clearly don't get it.
At least I've seen the original.
Yeah,
to have like some kind of back and forth on. But no, the world building, visuals, music, score, like the complete package of Dune's part 1 and 2, the new ones, are just incredible. And I think that, you know, are going to stand the test of time as just like fantastic films. Like Hans Zimmer's soundtrack, like I hadn't bought a movie soundtrack in a really long time, and I bought those because I was like, holy shit, this is such good music. Especially in part one when Gurney is leaving like the charge against the Harkonnens.
Yes.
And it, like that bagpipe music comes on. Oh my God, it's so good. And I mean, Oscar Isaac and his goddamn beard, that should have won an Oscar in
and
of itself.
God, yeah.
That beard was a work of art.
Honestly, he should have, this wasn't the right year for it, but he should have been number one DILF of the year.
Whatever
year the movie came out.
We should go back and do some
one.
Research because I'm thinking
he
might be.
Was he number one? Because he should have been.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was fantastic. Again, just like a great follow-up. I almost was like, should I have watched part one before I went to go see this again?
No.
But I was able, but again, like a good mark to, I cannot say his last, Denis Villeneuve's, his like directing chops, that like it just worked right in. I was like, I know what's going on. Everything's great. Nothing, don't need to worry about this. And it's good.
I will be completely honest. I frankly do not give a flying heck about the actual story of Dune.
Sure.
Read most of the book, decided this is not for me. But you are so right about the quality of the world building.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that I care about when it comes to Dune. I think it is fascinating and such well done world building. And then from just a visual spectacle point.
So good.
Oh my God. Dunes 1 and 2, there were so many times in both the first movie and now the second movie where I had the profound urge to pause the movie and try to like paint the scene that I was seeing.
Yeah.
Because it's just so beautifully shot. The things that they do with some of those scenes are just stunning. I can't get enough of it.
If they ever release a like art book of Dune,
oh yeah,
that would
I want
be
that art book.
So good.
Yes.
It's gonna have some good stuff
I
in
the
it.
The costume design. Oh my God, that's the main thing that
yeah.
I want to talk about, because the costume design in Dune is for not everybody, but for the people that are like fancier,
yeah.
It is off the charts awesome. Basically every outfit that the Bene Gesserit wear, just across the board, their outfits are phenomenal.
Yep.
The outfits that the that Princess Irulan, Florence Pugh's mm-hmm. character, mm-hmm. all of the outfits that she gets to wear, like that really intricate beaded
oh,
sort
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
half head circlet. oh my God. I was like, I want to snatch that off her head.
I like
and
the
wear
one that had all the like metal like strips and stuff around her face.
Yeah,
that one was
that
cool too.
At the very end that almost looks like an old style like knight's helm.
Yeah,
it but does. It was more delicate than that. Oh, she got
really
some of
good.
The best outfits in the series.
But I even like the Fremen armor and stuff like that in their outfits. It looks really cool.
Those are their still suits. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The Harkonnen, I always said it Harkonnen, but they were saying it like Harkonnen.
They say Harkonnen?
Harkonnen, yes.
I've always
said
Harkonnen too.
That sounds
yeah,
so much cooler.
We can make our own decisions
that's
here.
That's our, you know,
yeah, Frank Herbert's dead. He can't prove us wrong.
He can't come back and argue. So the Harkonnens, like, you know, their design too, like just how everything's so big and bulky, but just like so like.
Equally streamlined.
Yeah.
Because like they, all of them shave their heads. They have, they are black and white.
Yeah.
Their entire world is black and
that
white.
That I thought was
that
really
scene
cool
in
the movie.
Arena where like the whole arena is just full of black and white people, and it's not the filter, it's the people and their outfits. And it's like, oh, this is so cool.
It looked so good. But yeah, so that was all really great. I loved the look of it. Even like Baron Harkonnen, like just like he's like this hulking figure who just like can't like even he just floats everywhere, but all of his mud bats. But like that looks so much cooler than 84 Duke Harkonnen.
So here's the thing: I do agree that the current one looks cooler, but I think the 1984 Baron was better at inspiring disgust.
Oh, really?
And he's supposed to.
Oh, that's right. Because doesn't he have like open wounds on his body?
He's got
that,
like these disgusting
dripping
open sores. Yeah. He's truly disgusting. And what I remember from the book, he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be repulsive in every way, shape, and form. And that's obviously a reflection of the horrible evil within him. So I love that addition of like the open sores on his face is just another way of making him repulsive. The current one is almost a little too put together to me. It's like I could believe that this man is just a regular CEO of a company. I'm not sure I buy this.
Nice.
But I mean they both have value in their different ways. I just personally think the older one did a little bit better of a job at inspiring horrible disgust.
Which Frey Rautha would you take? Sting or Austin Butler?
Sting is hard to say. I'm torn because Fade Rautha in the books and in the movies, I think pretty much across the board, he is supposed to be beautiful. Like the books continuously describe him as like just a perfect specimen of a man. He's supposed to be gorgeous. And I feel like Austin Butler has one of those faces where like he's almost like disgustingly pretty. And you're like, oh, God, get this guy out of here. He's too beautiful. Okay. I don't want to look at his face anymore.
I got a quick Austin Butler aside.
Okay.
You can get your opinion on this too.
Okay, I'm ready.
We were watching, I think, Hot Ones, that show on YouTube where the people eat the hot wings
yes,
and stuff
yes.
like that. And it was his episode and everything. And we were watching it. And like Sam was, you know, that's one of the big reasons we went to go see the Elvis movie that he was in with
because
Baz Luhrmann.
Because he's too beautiful.
Yeah, and like Sam's always like, oh, he's got pretty lips. He's got beautiful
lips. He does,
lips.
He's got those beautiful lips.
He's got great lips. But then we finished that episode and I said, and just like while we're watching, I was kind of struck with this something and I was kind of like, huh. After it was over, I said, now I hope this doesn't change your feelings on Austin Butler. But does he not kind of look like Podcast Zach to you?
Oh my God, you're
like,
kind of right.
I kind of want to like hit up Zach and be like, hey man, is Austin Butler your cousin?
Wait, like if he shaved his head, like I'm trying to imagine him as Fade Roth, and it's like, oh no.
It works, right? They look very similar to each other.
That just means that he could do an incredible Fade Roth cosplay.
We got to hit him up, tell him, man, this is what we got to do.
Wow, you're totally right. They have
anyway.
A very similar face shape.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even like flowing hair. Zach always had wonderful
flowing
hair.
Well, not Fade Rautha, but Austin Butler
does. Yeah, Austin Butler and Zach.
Fade Rautha has no hair at all.
Also, I had to clarify Podcast Zach because Sam has a brother named Zach. So
we know a lot of Zachs. We got a lot of Zachs in the Discord.
Yep.
There's Zachs everywhere.
That's true.
But anyways, to answer your question about Austin Butler as Fade Rautha, I thought he did a very good job. There's part of me that's like, bring back Sting.
Sting
2024 Dune.
Like, obviously Sting to us, like the first time I saw 1984 Dune, I was kind of like, this, like, sure, it's Sting, but like, I'm sure that was a bigger thing back in 1984. I liked Austin Butler's better just because he seemed more vicious than Sting's.
He also did a much more interesting voice. Yeah. I will say that the voice he gave Fade Rotha was really interesting. So I
liked
it
because it was like kind of, it almost seemed like kind of a deviation of Stellan Skarsgård's Duke Harkonnen. It's kind of like seemed like a kind of a branch off of that, which I kind of liked. So
not Stellan Skarsgård. I was thinking, for a minute, I got my Skarsgård's confused, and I was like, oh yeah, that was his son. And yeah. I'm like, no, wait, Austin Butler's Matthew. Not related.
No, he does kind of look like Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, he does, yes.
So, you know, it's all together.
It's not that far-fetched. No, let's
not
be
really
right.
at all. But no, I thought it was fantastic. Loved it. And I definitely wanted to see it because, yeah, we talked about it in the Discord. I had missed it, the first one stupidly and didn't see it in theaters. And so I watched that one at home. I was like, oh my God, I should have seen this one in the theater. And then I saw like this part two I did not want to miss.
So a couple of things, and these aren't really spoilers because I'm not going to mention anything specific, but I will say Dune 2 made a really weird... How do I say this without being spoilery? Maybe I can't, so I might just have to gloss over it. The timeline of Dune 2 and when things happen in relation to the events of Part 1, I had a really hard time getting a grip on.
I
couldn't tell if it... It seems like the events of Dune 2 happen over the course of a few months.
Yes.
Because Lady Jessica remains pregnant that entire time.
Yes.
Which doesn't...
Forgot she was pregnant when the movie started.
Which doesn't entirely track with the books. And the way that Dune 2 ends, it doesn't end in time with the first book.
Oh.
So now I'm like, oh, wait, oh, what's happening here? Like, it gets really close. Okay. Like, it's really close, but it, like, cuts off at kind of a weird point of when the book would have ended. And now I'm like, now I feel very unmoored by the ending because I'm like, I don't understand
what's coming next
next. Yeah.
I took it to be that, yeah, from the opening scene, I kind of took that to be like very soon after the ending of Dune 1, which again, I haven't seen since that first time I saw it. So I don't totally remember what happened at the very end of it, but that seemed like that was just picking up right then.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I feel like it kind of uses Lady Jessica's pregnancy as like, because you
the
know,
timekeeper.
As the timekeeper, yeah. You kind of like get a sense of like how much time is progressing through this movie. So, which I kind of thought was like cool of a not way of doing, of being like 3 months later, 2 months later, 1 month later.
They should have done those plate cards, but have it been like first trimester, second trimester. And that would have been so funny.
That would have been good. I also too, like I thought Christopher Walken was going to be the emperor.
I did. When he showed up, I was like, oh my God.
Oh shit, it's Christopher Walken. And like, and now too, like Christopher Walken, fantastic actor, but to an extent he has also been memeified. So like, it's one of those things like I was expecting a Christopher Walkenism to happen. And the only, in like there was one line when it happened, he kind of goes, Baron. And you're like, oh, there he is.
There he is. There's our guy.
So yeah, but no, I thought that was awesome. It had a really stacked cast. I mean, like it always does. The first one did too. But yeah, no, I thought it was a fantastic follow-up to the... Ooh.
One other thing that I just want to say, because I wasn't expecting it, and it took me by delighted surprise. Maybe it was just the crowd that I saw Dune 2 with, but they made Stilgar fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he was funny.
Oh, my God, he's so funny.
He was funny.
Like, when he's telling Paul about, like, okay, you're going to go out into the desert at night, you're going to want to watch out for the djinn, and he's, like, building it up as, like, sort of a nighttime bed, scary story, and then he's like, bah! And he's like, genuinely scares him, and then there's a pause, and he's like, but no, really, they will kill you. I was just losing it. Stilgar was so hilarious,
because I remembered him being way more serious in the first one.
Oh, he is. He's super serious in the first one. He's dead serious in the books, but I love the characterization of him, like, still being super serious and very committed to his faith and his people, like also kind of being a bit of a merry prankster, a bit of a jokester.
He's like, we gotta live in this desert, I'm gonna have fun with it.
Stilgar was like the highlight of the movie for me, and I didn't see that coming.
Did they do the water removal thing in the first movie? I didn't remember that, but like that scene, that opening scene where they're like taking the water out of dead bodies, I was like, oh my God, this is
intense.
Some good some good ingenuity, but also what?
So in the first, how do they do this? I want to say there might be a scene in the first movie, I could also be getting it confused with the book.
Oh, okay.
There's a point in the first half of the book which tracks with the first movie 1-to-1. Like, you get exactly halfway through the book, that's the first movie.
Oh, nice.
And there's a scene that happens in that time where I think maybe Paul is, like, just now getting in with the Fremen, and they have, like, a downed comrade or something.
Sure.
No, one of the other, like, one of the, one of the Atreides soldiers.
Okay.
One of the Atreides soldiers dies, and the Fremen take that person's body to recycle their water. And in that scene, it's very much a case of they wrap the body up to take it away later.
Mm.
So it was not like they jab these things into the Harkonnens and suck all the water out of them, like with little, like, what are those things? Bellows.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all. But I like that they sort of made that distinction in the movie of, no, we don't give a fuck about these dead bodies. We're not going to treat them with respect. We're just going to use our little super soakers and suck the water right out of
it. It was effective.
But then there was a scene later where they finished taking Jamis's body back to the Siege, like their little outholding. And Jamis is a Fremen. So they're like, no, we're going to actually respect his water, you know, the water that comes from the human body. And they processed him in a very respectful way.
Right.
I loved that visual distinction of, we don't give a fuck about these guys. We only care about our own people.
We just want this water.
We want your water either way, but their water's no good. Our guys' water is good.
Yep. It was some good stuff. It was a lot of good stuff. And I thought, like, man, what a great, like, early, like, great movie to kick off the summer blockbusters.
I'm sorry. One more tiny little detail.
Sure.
That I just fucking loved. I couldn't get enough of it. The effect that they used for the Harkonnen fireworks.
Oh,
how they
yeah.
were like ink blots instead of fireworks. Oh, that was so cool.
It was so good.
I was like, yes.
It was really good.
Whoever in special effects chose that effect for the fireworks, hell yes, you are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, that was a really cool look. I thought it was awesome. But yeah, so it was a really great movie. A lot of good stuff. Looking forward to, obviously, part 3, or Dune Messiah, I guess, is technically the title of the next one.
But is it Dune Messiah and then Children of Dune? When it does Children of Dune happen?
I want to say it might only be Dune Messiah.
Are they just skipping straight to Dune Messiah?
I think he's finishing it up with Messiah.
Oh, my God.
I could be completely wrong.
Well, anyways, I'm never going to finish the Dune books. So from this point forward, I'm not going to have any fucking idea what
there's
happens.
There's no point in trying to, like, catch up on those now. But, you know, it is what it is. A little detour into the world of Dune.
Because we had both just seen it. We just wanted to talk about it. So we'll get back to the video game.
We can do that. But yes. What have you been playing?
So I have actually been playing, I've detoured a little bit from Tekken 8 because, first, let's catch up a little bit on Tekken 8 because I am in Warrior rank, which is the lowest rank of Yellow.
I am now, too.
And you just got to Yellow
Warrior
2.
Just got there.
Yeah.
And I was, like, past you and when I got advanced up and then lost my next rounds, and we are exactly on the same number.
Yep. So I have been playing a little bit more of ranked at that Warrior level, and I'm not going to commit to this because I'm not sure if it's true, but part of me kind of feels like I may have met my skill cap.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I'm either going to have to put a lot more effort into it, or I'm going to have to say, I'm good where
this is good enough. Let's
because
just, like, have fun.
I am at the point, like, I've had a few days in a row of going into ranked and playing maybe, I mean, anywhere between 3 to 8 matches, which, you know, if you're rematching and you go, like, the full 3 matches, those can take a while. Even though it's a fast-paced game, it can take a while. So, like, 3 to 8 matches, give or take, per day, and I basically wind up exactly back where I started.
Yeah.
Because I'll go on a losing streak, and then I have a few wins that put me right back where I started, and I'm like, this might be my natural limit.
I'm curious to see if I also have hit that point, because I didn't realize that once you got to a certain level,
you
it would start lowering
yeah.
down. And that, to me, I was kind of like, I like this, like, constantly going up and never going down. But the going down part kind of bums me out
sucks.
A little bit. So I might be there too, because I still lose more than I win.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
win to lose ratio is terrible.
And after, like, a few, like, days or a few hours and stuff in Tekken, I was kind of like, I cannot care about that or I'll drive myself crazy.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I've tried to, like, bounce around in Tekken, and I've bounced back to Mortal Kombat to try out its ranked a little bit more.
I keep seeing you on Mortal Kombat and I'm like, coward.
just keeping
kidding.
It fresh.
I
just keeping
just
it fresh.
Kidding.
Also, I like it because Mortal Kombat's ranked gives you more customization items for your characters and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
That are, like, seasonal. So
must
it's like you play
nice.
And you get those ones in that season and stuff like that. So, yeah, it is pretty nice for that. But Tekken, I'm kind of like, I might be there. We need to have another
fight night. We need to have another
soon.
Real fight night.
Set up real brackets and go at it like that. Because I know everyone. I know everyone's kind of dropped off a little bit because of newer stuff. Yes. I also dropped off because Helldivers 2 came out.
Right.
And I did get sucked into that It's been a ton of fun. But yeah, Tekken, I kind of am with you. I might be nearing... Because if I keep getting just like knockdown ranks, that's gonna be no fun.
Yeah.
So, but no, still having a ton of fun with it. Shaheen's still my boy.
Yeah, Lily's still my girl.
Yeah, and just having a good time with it though.
I have to say though, because I've really only played ranked with Lily and a teeny tiny bit of Nina and June. I'm trying to get better at Nina, but she's very fun. But like, I'm definitely not as good as I am with Lily. So it's like, ah, God, ranked is such a slog right now because I suck with Nina. It's just so hard to find the time to commit that many moves to memory for multiple characters.
Oh yeah.
Every time I play a bunch with Lily and then go try to be Nina, I'm like, I have forgotten everything. I don't remember any of these combos. How do people do this?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Whenever I drop off of Shaheen, I'll play like Azucena or something, and then I just try to do Shaheen moves, and I'm like, this doesn't work.
This isn't gonna work. Nope.
Surprisingly, I'm able to differentiate in between Tekken and Mortal Kombat.
Mm. Good.
Easier than I thought I was. But same thing. I'm only sticking with one character. I'm playing Baraka still, and he's my main. And I'm just sticking with that because I know I don't have the time to learn multiple characters. Are you kidding?
No, absolutely not. And we also recently saw the addition of, I'm not sure exactly when it went live. As of us recording, I think it's only been a few days since the Tekken store officially went live. I have to say, I did go in there and kind of poke around a bit in the store just to see what they had. Nothing struck.
Did not impress me.
Yeah, I was so unimpressed.
It's just like weird, like branded. It looked like some kind of branded.
It was like a crossover with Uniqlo or whatever that brand is. And I was like, and it was like boring white t-shirts and shit. And I was like, boo.
Not even for like every character, I feel like.
No, it was so lame.
That's what I kind of was like disappointed about that with me. Other than, yes, now there's microtransactions. You know, we've all had that discussion before. But
I mean, if the microtransactions are going to be so uninspiring that you never use them, who cares,
because that's
right?
My thing. I was like, why did you not launch this with at least a new outfit for every character?
Yeah, I was amazed that there were only, what, four-ish outfits for June, Jin, and I don't even remember the others because they were so forgettable. Who were they?
I don't remember either.
I don't fucking
remember. Why, like, why would you not have at least a new outfit or something for each character?
Like, I even went to the character select thing where you can, like, filter by character. I was like, okay, well, maybe it's just not on this home view. I'll go see what's available for Lily. Nothing. And I was
like a weird, like, Shaheen avatar, I think, for the game lounge.
Oh, but, like, who cares about the avatars, right?
No,
nobody.
Not me. Mm-mm. So I want actual, like, in-game stuff to, like, change up my Shaheen. I'm still pretty happy with my Shaheen customization right now.
He's horrible.
He looks so good.
He's so awful.
He just wants to fight. He's just a bro who wants to fight.
Yeah, he's incredible.
But, yeah, what was I thinking about with Mortal Kombat? I did have a couple good runs of there too, but yeah, still all same thing, kind of get my ass beat. But I feel like I hold my ground maybe a smidge better in Mortal Kombat, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But so since you haven't been playing Tekken 8 as much, what's been keeping you from it?
I finally got around to Sea of Stars.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I've been talking about this game for months and months, I think, just like casually wanting to play it at some point. And I didn't realize that Sea of Stars is one of the included free games with PS Plus Extra.
Oh, nice.
So I was sorting through the games of what was available for PS Plus Extra because obviously after buying a PlayStation 5, I have no fucking money left. So I was like, I need free games. And there was Sea of Stars. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. So I started playing it, and honestly, the first few hours of gameplay, I was like, I'm not sure about this. I'm sort of not very intrigued.
Well, because
it looks very pretty.
Didn't in the Discord you say that like you've played 12-ish?
Now I'm up to 10 to 12 hours.
Okay.
Yes. Now I've put a lot more time into it. But when I first started, I was really not super sold on it. And to be perfectly honest, I'm still not sure I'm completely sold on the game.
That was my question, because didn't you say something like, I'm 10 to 12 hours in and I'm still not really sure what's going on? I'm like, that's a lot of hours to be in and not know.
So I do know what's going on in the game. So the situation is Sea of Stars is a new take on the traditional JRPG. So it's turn-based combat with a little bit of a modern twist. And it follows, the story beats are very similar to what you might expect from a traditional JRPG. So you are following two main characters, Zale and Valere. And they're children of the solstice. So Zale, he's got blonde hair, really tan skin. He was born on the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. He's a blade dancer. He uses these cool little knives as his weapons. He's very cool looking. Valere was born on the winter solstice. My birthday. So obviously I had to choose Valeria as my starting character. Duh. And she has beautiful blue hair because, you know, she's a child of the night, the moon, that kind of stuff. So they are children of the solstice. As such, in the world that they live in, they get sort of involuntarily drafted into the Solstice Warriors, or Solstice Warriors, into being Solstice Warriors, because the world that they live in, and if they have a word for it, I honestly don't remember what it is, but the world that they live in apparently just recently sort of got out of a period of absolute terror and destruction from a figure known as the Fleshmancer.
Oh my.
Which, if I were ever going to star in a dark fantasy porno, I would want to be known as the Fleshmancer. Say his name, I'm like, ah, yes, the Fleshmancer.
Fantastic, fantastic.
It's the number one thought I have at all times when they talk about that character. I'm like, God, it's such a porno name.
It really is.
It really is. But anyways, so there was a figure known as the Fleshmancer that sort of conjured up or somehow created these things called dwellers. And dwellers are basically just super malicious spirits / beings that can only be defeated during an eclipse. I don't know which direction. They can only be defeated during an eclipse when their basically like shield of magic is weak enough that the Solstice Warriors can go in and kill them. So there's all of this stuff about the moon and stars and eclipses and the solstice and blah blah blah. All you need to know is sun equals fire magic, moon equals water magic, more or less, and that's sort of how things are divided up. And you are two fledgling Solstice Warriors. You have a couple of mentors, Erlina and Brugaves, and they're the people before you. They are similarly color-coded red and blue, respectively. Mm-hmm. And then you have a headmaster of like the, I don't know what you would call it, academy.
Sure.
Of the Academy of Solstice Warrioring, Moiraine, something like that. And he's an old man, and he basically just forces you to train every day for your entire life, and then you get sent out into the world, not exactly to die, but there's a very high chance that you will die trying to defeat the dwellers out there. But, like, you know, everybody sort of drank the Kool-Aid, right? So, like, Zale and Valere, they're like, well, it's our responsibility. We are children of the solstice. This is what we were born and raised to do, so we're going to go do that. And I kind of just got to the point in the story, again, about 10 to 12 hours in, where the first sort of oh shit twist happens.
Yeah.
So things are starting to pick up pace. So I feel like from this point forward, the story is going to be a little bit more engaging, but I also have no idea how long the game is. I'm very much going into it blind. So for all I know, I'm halfway done.
Yeah.
And I don't think so. It really doesn't feel like it, but there's always a chance, right? But anyways, the combat is what actually makes Sea of Stars much more interesting. Beyond the aesthetics that make it really, really nice to look at, it's got those really nice, like, new pixel graphics.
Yeah.
So it looks like an old Game Boy game, but not really, because it's too fancy.
Is it more closer to, like, the Octopath Travelers?
Yeah, no, because Octopath Traveler has that 2D, 3D thing going on. This is pure top-down 2D.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's a very like traditional take on the setup. I would liken it more to an upgraded Golden Sun.
Got
like
it.
If you've played the Golden Sun games or you've seen what they look like, imagine that and you are right on target with what Sea of Stars is all about. I'm not sure if Golden Sun was listed as a direct influence, but its ilk are absolutely what has influenced the development of Sea of Stars. The soundtrack, though, is delightful.
Good.
It's a lot of those very, you know, sort of GBA-inspired chiptune tracks. Mm-hmm. So all those old-school sound effects that we know and love, redone into some of the catchiest tunes I've heard in a while. Like the little, the track that plays when you're just in regular combat, like default, normal, non-boss combat. Oh, it's so catchy. Every time it starts, I'm like, it's super catchy. Love all of the songs. The graphics are beautiful. The characters are really fun, But right now, they also feel very surface level. Mm. So that's the piece that I'm waiting to see. Is that going to go anywhere? Yeah. Like, are things going to change? Are these characters going to grow in meaningful ways? I'm not sure yet. But in the meantime, the combat is what's really shining for me. So it's basically like, how to describe it? So you know how in Octopath Traveler, you can defend?
Yeah.
There is no defending in Sea of Stars. Oh. Sea of Stars says, absolutely not. There is no defend. There is no block. There is no skip your turn to gain defense. It is all attack all the time. But in a really interesting way, because your characters can do like basic attacks. And if you time the hit right, like when your character moves forward to bash an enemy character, as that hit is landing, if you hit the X button, you get like a super good hit, like a Ooh, critical hit, basically. Okay. And you get to hit twice. So for Valere, her hits do like hammer damage, basically bludgeoning damage. Mm-hmm. But Zale, his blades do slashing damage. And different enemies that you fight have different guards that you need to break. So being able to break them, kind of similar to Octopath Traveler, is what stops them from casting their more powerful spells. Mm. So every enemy has basic attacks, but they also have spells that they can cast on you that usually do a lot more damage. So using your weapons and your magic, which usually have elemental symbols attached to them, lunar magic or solar magic, poison magic later for some characters, those are the things that you really have to be super strategic about. When are you going to waste your mana? When are you going to use a combo attack between different characters? And making sure that you actually hit those timed attacks
yeah.
to get the full two sword strikes. Because I have fucked it up before, and you only get one, and you needed the other one before the character cast their big spell, and you're like, never mind, I'm fucked.
So is this one a turn-based like Octopath?
Yes, it is turn-based. It's not exactly the same, but it's more, all you need to know is that
it feels
based.
yeah it feels a little bit more fluid than like yes, not as like stop and go as a turn-based.
Absolutely. And I would even say that if you're in combat and you've used up all of your character's turns and now it's the enemy's turn to go, you know, sometimes that doesn't necessarily happen in the order that you think it will. But in Sea of Stars, every enemy character has a timer. So you know exactly when they're going to go.
Oh, okay.
It's like, okay, this guy's got two moves before they use their spell. This guy's got four moves before they use their spell. So that's how you're sort of able to puzzle out who to hit and sure. when to get the most return on your combat investment.
Awesome.
So it's really interesting. I'm at least enjoying it. The soundtrack alone and the visuals are really drawing me in. But I'm honestly at this point not... I will put it this way. When I'm playing it, I want to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I'm not playing it, I kind of lose the drive to go back and play it again.
Oh, interesting.
So it's sort of that case. It's almost like a Tears of the Kingdom where like I just have to hit start and play the game and then I'll play it for hours. But until I hit start, I'm like, I don't think I really want to
play this today.
I'm not sure about that. So like I'll go days at a time without even thinking about it. And then it'll be Sunday morning and I'm like, oh, I've been playing Sea of Stars for 5 hours. So it's one of those games. It's a real feast or famine situation. I should probably look up how long the story is, because at this point I have no idea. If this is going to be a 50-hour game, I'm probably not going to finish it. But if it's like a 25-hour game, I think I can do that. So I don't know. I like it. More to come when I eventually do an official review. For now, those are just my very off-the-cuff, very brief first impressions.
Very cool. Very cool. The couple things, I've been, like we said, bouncing things off of Tekken. And now, like I said, I'm playing Helldivers 2. So it's got like my current rotation is Helldivers, Tekken, and Mortal Kombat, which has been like...
What a spread.
I know. It really is a spread. And it's kind of stressful. And I'm kind of like, I need to get like balanced in, like I need to throw a story-based game in there somewhere to like kind of give me some direction, because right now it is like, which one of these? It's nice because things have been a little hectic and crazy right now, so I don't I feel like it's a good time to let me like really just be like, okay, I have an hour, let me play some stuff, let me jump back in here and mess around and everything. But Helldivers 2 has been fantastic, and yes, a full review will be coming later on. I'm not quite ready to do that yet, but I've also been playing, and I'll talk about a little bit of that one too, but another game that I've been playing with Sam is actually that Play Up that you talked about in a moment with Mogan a few episodes back.
Yeah.
You said it was Overcooked Adjacent. That's all Sam and I needed to hear, and we have been in on it completely.
I am so glad I sold you on it so easily.
It's so, you just got to say it's like Overcooked.
It also wasn't expensive, right? Like, it's a pretty cheap game.
It was $15,
I want to say, like that. Beautiful, inexpensive.
It's It's fun. It lacks a little bit of the polish of like Overcooked and stuff like that, but it's also way different than Overcooked. It's like the same, but different in that, you know, Overcooked is very high stress, you know, lots of things happening all at once. You're cooking this, you're chopping that,
you're throwing, you're plating,
you're slapping, you're cursing your fellow teammates out all the way.
You're burning, you're trashing.
All that stuff is happening and it gets crazy. Played Up is a little slower. It's not, it does still have its hectic moments. For sure, especially when your restaurant starts getting full. Yeah, you got to line out the door and all three of your tables are full and you haven't even taken their order yet. And you're like, oh shit, I'm done.
And then that table's actually having the audacity to order dessert. And right? You're like, ma'am.
Which makes it difficult. But this one is fun though, because I like that it's not just the cooking and the delivering. It's like straight up restaurant management.
Yes.
You like have a floor plan and then you'll have certain recipes that you can make. And then you'll like pick which floor plan and recipe you want to make before you start your restaurant. Then you get to choose, where do you want your tables to go? How many chairs at each table? What kitchen equipment do you want? In each round, after you complete each round or each day, you get new things you can add to the restaurant, either like new appliances, tables, plates, counters, or even like a thing called research desk, which can upgrade your blueprint plans for later additions. So it's a lot of different stuff like that. But it's just nice. So you kind of get like, okay, this one thing didn't work really well this day. Let's change it. Let's rearrange this. But you do still have the things of, you got to prepare the food. You got to wash your dirty dishes. You got to clean plates off of the tables.
You have to take orders. You have to go to tables and take orders.
Yeah, go to the tables and take orders.
Go to the orders and take tables?
Yeah, just mixing it up. And then what was the other thing that you also have to do? There could be a line of people outside the door waiting to get in if you don't have enough tables. And
they all have little timers over them.
Yeah, everything has a timer.
So as soon as somebody sits down and orders, they have a little timer over them indicating how much longer you have before they get mad and leave, which is like an instant game over.
Instant game over. As soon as any of your customers lose patience, which is what they call that timer, the restaurant closes and you're done and you have to restart. So it's kind of fun because it's also, in a way, it's restaurant management mixed with Overcooked, mixed with a roguelite. Because you're because each run is different. You'll get different modifiers each run because it's random what kind of upgrades you'll get for your kitchen. Also, once you hit I think 3 days, you'll get a 1-star rating, and then that will give you like a new they call it a card, it's just a card, like ability card that doesn't. It's usually something that's extra to the restaurant, like one of them is something like there'll be something like you can designate your restaurant as either charming, you know, expensive or whatever, and that will give various benefits to you. But you can also sometimes choose like a new menu item, like dessert, coffee, or even like we've been doing steak. We got the upgrade to have like a steak sauce that you have to also make.
And A1.
So then that will, I know, right? It'd be so much easier if it could be A1. that you have to then like prepare all of this stuff, and it adds these modifiers, makes it more difficult or not. We did one of those that was like a picky eater, where people's plates would be dirtier than normal, and you have to take the plate to the trash, dump the leftover food off, then wash the plate.
Oh God!
But it's random who's going to be a picky eater. It's not every eater.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it's kind of like, so you got to like account for all of this stuff.
Damn.
So it's been a lot of fun. We've been having a blast with it, and we've been played quite a few nights over the last couple of weeks. So it's been a lot of fun.
I like, as much as I've enjoyed Overcooked in short bursts, Played Up looks so much more sustainable to me.
It looks more welcoming to like a new player. Like Sam and I in Overcooked, we have our systems down.
You guys
so like throwing
are
in a third or fourth player
to play with.
But this one can pretty easily, you could like work somebody in. We have finished a restaurant all the way and like finished it, which then gives you the option to franchise it, which means you can like, I think we haven't totally explored that yet, but it's something like you can use then the old food recipes and maybe
so
like your
own.
Wait,
so you get me to buy the game and then I get to franchise under
exactly.
You. Oh God, if that's how it works, that would
no,
be incredible.
It's something like you have to like activate the franchise, but you have a different floor. Excuse me. You have a different floor plan. And then, but I don't know, I'm not sure of like what all modifiers that you accrued in the initial run of that restaurant still carry over to the franchise. We just haven't played as much in that. So, you know, full review of that coming too.
Question, is Played Up exclusively a two-player game or can you have more?
I believe three.
Oh, okay, up to three people.
Yeah, maybe four, but I know for sure three.
All right.
So yeah, it's a good time.
Well, if there's maybe a third,
yeah,
I can wash dishes.
You can. It's like we somewhat, I think we need that intermediary because sometimes, like I've been waitstaff, Sam has been the chef. And then, and so sometimes our paths have to cross over, like when we have to, like plate washing duties. So yeah, we could use that.
Yeah, I'll do the dishes, which is ironic because that is my number one least favorite chore in real life.
Well, yeah, bring your controller.
But put
over.
It we'll in a video game, and we'll I'm like, yeah, it. I'll wash those dishes. Easy.
But yeah, so that's been a whole lot of fun.
Plate Up looks very charming.
Yeah,
it looks really fun.
It's a very good time. I do want to talk. How much we got here? We're going. I'll talk about Helldivers for a little bit because yeah, a full review of that one will be coming soon. I haven't played. I've probably played less than 10 hours of it, I think. Maybe like eight-ish.
It sounded like you and Michael had been playing all
the
time.
No, we actually only played like the one time. And then now that the servers have become like more stable. Because yeah, we bought it like launch weekend and you could not get in.
And it was not good.
Because no, it was good. It's good for the game because like everybody wants to play it. But you know, but yeah, for those of us wanting to play it and not getting in, it was a struggle.
Yeah.
But no, Helldivers is exactly what I'd been thinking it was going to be when I talked about it before, of just like kind of like, I've played 12 hours of Helldivers. I take it back.
Goodness.
And so it is, it really is Starship Troopers in video game form.
So here's another unfortunate thing about me. I've never seen Starship Troopers.
What you need to know is that it's basically like you're fighting big bugs.
I did know that.
Okay.
I've seen stills of it. I've just never seen it. I
great
know that
movie.
It's like a
you should
cult
check it
classic,
out. You should,
but
it's
I've never
so
seen
good.
It.
I want to watch it again soon because this is really like a light in the fire for it, but it's very good. But it also is like a satire or like pokes, is supposed to be directed at like, I'm gonna mess it up, but it's basically like, and even in the marketing for Helldivers and in Starship Troopers too, they're like, democracy, freedom, but it's really not that way. Like it's very controlled.
It's like a satire of propaganda,
yes,
like military propaganda.
Yes. And okay. So, thank you. That's what I was looking for. And so that very well clear, carries over into here. Like you can talk to, you have a democracy officer on board your ship in Helldivers 2, and I like talked to him the other day, and the voice line he said is, you get more than one vote for super in democracy on Super Earth.
One Super Earth,
that's
oh
what
no.
it's called. Yeah, you get your vote that you can cast in person, and then you vote with every bullet you pour into the enemy.
Incredible. To be fair, that's amazing.
So it's little stuff like that. When you're doing these missions on these planets, you can there's like a side mission sometimes that's like shut down illegal broadcast. That's like the colonists on these planets being like, Super Earth is bad. And you're like,
oh, no,
fuck you, democracy.
Oh, no.
So it's a lot of that over the top. But it really is, I like it because it is more of like a online only multiplayer game. You can play missions solo and stuff like that too, but you can also just join up with randos. But there's not a story per se, other than the fact that like there are these two factions, the Terminids, which are bugs, and the Automatons, which are robots. And they're on either sides of the galaxy from you, and you're trying to keep them from encroaching on Super Earth space.
So you're right in the middle.
Oh, God. And so you can choose to fight on either Automaton or Terminid planets, and you're trying to liberate the planets from their control so that you can push them back farther and gain more Super Earth territory.
Gotcha.
But in certain cases, as what happened, there will be these orders that go out that like if you work towards accomplishing X goal, you'll be rewarded with this many medals, which is kind of like what you use to then get customization items, unlock new gear and stuff like that. But and they call them like major orders kind of thing. And there was just one for the Automatons, which was defend this planet Malevolon Creek. And because like they're pressing up, well, Helldivers lost. The Automatons like took it over.
Jesus.
And everything like that. So it's kind of like, oh shit, we can lose.
Oh God.
And so it's kind of like interesting thing. So it's like, it like creates this really cool, like community and like unity of like, cause you're all fighting for this certain goal, which I just really like that that's like how it's framed rather than like, here's this story. You're going to go to this mission, this planet, fight there. Then you're going to go to this one and fight here. It's, but as you do more missions across these planets, your difficulty rating can scale up. And as the difficulty rating scales up, you'll get new, because you can also collect these materials. There's common materials, raw materials, and then like ultra materials. And you can collect those, which will then unlock new upgrades for your ship, which your ship, then those upgrades will then apply to the in-battle upgrades you get on the ground. Because one of the other really fun things about this, like you go down, you land, you drop from your ship onto the Earth, onto the planets, and you have like your standard main weapon, sidearm, grenades. But then you can use these things.
Standard
stuff.
Everybody
knows this. It comes equipped in your backpack every day. But you can then use these things called stratagems, which is where your ship comes into play, because it will drop things, either supplies like new heavy weapons, like a machine gun, like bazooka, basically, sniper rifle, different stuff like that.
The railgun from Unreal Tournament?
Railgun is coming. Yeah. is one. I haven't unlocked it yet, but it is one in there. Yeah. So you can have like those drop from orbit and they like have a cooldown and then you can calm down again. Because every time you die, you can go find your where you died and like pick them up again.
But can other people pick up your stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you can kind of like use it as like if you ever call down a resupply one, everybody can get resupply from that.
Gotcha.
One. And then everybody can call down a reinforcement. Like once you die, your teammates have to then call in a reinforcement stratagem, what it's called. But the stratagems can also call down like airstrikes, bombing runs, and different stuff like this. And as you go and progress and get more money, medals, materials, you can upgrade those, get new ones, and get some like ridiculously crazy stuff.
Nice.
So, but the fun fact of all this stuff, friendly fire is a thing.
Oh, I love that. I love it when games put friendly fire
in. It is so ridiculous how often you just like see whole teams get wiped out because somebody threw an errant like bombing run.
Jared.
It takes out everybody.
You have just sold me on Helldivers 2.
Honestly.
That was all I needed to hear. That
honestly,
friendly fire is a thing.
I think you would like it.
I think I probably would.
Because it is just, what makes it so fun.
It sounds
fun,
like low stakes chaos.
It is.
Yeah.
It's low stakes video game chaos. You're just dropping in, laying down, like just holding down the fire button, just hosing stuff. And there are like huge different
spray
varieties.
Spray and spray. That's what
it
I like
really
to do.
It really is that. And it's just like total chaos. It's so much fun.
That sounds actually
and,
pretty fun.
Yeah. And like especially.
Mostly in my mind, I'm already thinking of how will I get Bro Mogan to play it so that I can just shoot him in the head every time he's in front of me.
It can happen. I mean, it's like there's one of these power-ups you can get that's called like a guard dog, and it basically is a flying little drone that will shoot a laser beam out like at the bugs and everything. But it's auto fire, so it just goes. So many times I've been just like standing next to somebody's, and it like turns to hit somebody else and just like takes me out.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Or it takes them out too. Like it can hurt them themselves.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
You can blow yourself up if you don't throw your grenade fast enough.
Yes,
it's like all the things. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
And there are also like tons of like enemy varieties, you know, come from like small scrub enemies to like big armored tank bugs. There's one called a Bile Titan that's like massive and like it walks over you and everything. The automatons, I haven't done as much because they're so much harder than the bugs.
Oh, are they?
Oh, they're ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
They like have, they're way more armored, even their like low guys are. And it's just, it can get ridiculous.
Gotcha.
So, but what's cool though too, is there apparently is, it's come to light that there is like a game master who like oversees like, all right, the automatons are going to push over here now. Like for the planet side, like the Galactic War, like there's somebody at the Helldivers dev team
who's
game master of it all.
That's really fun. I love that.
It's just like, yeah, it doesn't try to be anything else than what it says it's going to be, which is that you're here to just fuck shit up, make big booms, and blow up bugs and robots.
And your friends. Yes.
And that's exactly what it does. And
that
so it's just
really
it's
fun.
Just a blast. As I get more time into it, like I'll do like a full, like more in-depth breakdown and everything of it and just all of its stuff and, you know, full review.
Well, maybe by that time it'll be a joint full review.
I think it should be.
Something
you can do
to think
4-person
about.
Squads.
Ooh, okay.
And it's already me and Michael.
You, me, Michael, and Sam. Yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I don't
Sam
know if
hates dialogue.
There
she'll
is no dialogue.
It.
It's true.
Yeah, there's
it's
no
literally
dialogue.
Right straight into the action. But no, it's just a it's so much fun. Even playing by yourself. But then as you get into the higher difficulties of like it gets pretty hectic. I'm on level four, I think, of difficulty. I think I have access up to level like 6, I think, and 9 is the highest.
Ooh,
but
God.
I tried a level 5 1 and it was
not
difficult,
good.
So I needed to upgrade my stuff a little bit more before I went into it. But it's a hell of a good time.
Get it?
Hell of a good time. Just dive right in. That's what we're gonna do. It's good. But I don't know. Any more? Shoot, we got to shit. Shit, we got to shoot. There we go.
Okay.
It's time
not.
To go. No, I think not. My words are getting mixed up now.
We're
so
done here,
I think
everybody.
That's a good place to
yeah,
call
good
it.
Good place
so.
To stop.
But thanks for hanging out with us today as we just get you caught back up on what we've been playing lately. Look out soon. I know we are due for another stream night coming up soon.
Yes.
And then also we will try to get another team chat fight
Check
night
in.
Going here up pretty soon. So anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode, everybody. Until next time, I am one of your hosts, Jarrett Wilson, joined to my right by Rachel Mogan.
Adios.
And we will see you all next time. Bye.